When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Nothing annoys me, but I suppose when they get there tomorrow, like, and we're all standing waiting, and then they're over across the way, and they'll probably start singing their wee soldier song and their big tricolour flan. And you'll be going, get into them. That's terrible, isn't it? That's what'll annoy me. Don't like that flag at all.
Why not?
It's horrible colours. Remember the 11th night? They had a big tricolour on the top of their bonfire, and my John says to me, what are the Burning Dublin's flag for, didn't they? And there was a whole crowd starting around us, and he'd be doing nothing. And here's, what are the Burning Dublin's flag for? And he kept going on and on. He'd be, John, shut up, I'm not telling you. And what could you tell him? Like, he couldn't understand why Dublin's flag was at the top of the bonfire and they were burning it. Everybody was looking at him too. He said, oh God. He says, why not burn Union Jack, didn't I? He says, why not burn Union Jack? He says, sure, that's our flag. Here's the, oh God, John, you've a lot to learn, son.
Glasgow Rangers are a special football team for many people in the north of Ireland. Their red, white and blue colours represent a Protestant royalist tradition that arouses passion in the supporters. Valerie McFadden is one. For Valerie, a trip to Scotland to see Rangers play their old rival Celtic is a special treat. And it's even more special when the game is being played in the hallowed turf in the football shrine that is Ibrox Stadium. An old firm clash. It's more than just sport. Valerie is a mother of two and she lives in Sandy Row in the centre of Belfast. On the evening before the game, we're in Valerie's living room.
That's my daughter Lauren, who's 10 and a half weeks. So she's with her daddy there. She was a wee surprise, a wee accident. But she was. She came along in August, so she did. Saturday before Christmas last year, we found out. Shock. Couldn't believe it. But they wouldn't be without her now, like. So I wouldn't. I mean, actually, she's a wee dote. She's a good child. She sleeps all night. From she was about 2 weeks old. The time she cries is when she's hungry or when she wants a wee nurse. But she's good, like. But it was a hell of a shock. So it was, because it wasn't planned. Real Christmas present that was for us. Not for sure. You wouldn't be without them, like, sure you wouldn't. No way. That's a photo of my son, John, who's 7. He'll be at a march, and there's one of him with Geordie Best and Pat Crearn. That was taken in July down at the Manchester United shop on Ann Street. We stood for an hour to get signed photos of George and Pat. And they're just gentlemen. Pat Crearn's a gentleman. Had a drink of their champagne. So I did. Because I was 8 months pregnant and standing for an hour in that heat. And George says he was drinking his champagne. He turned around and he says, I think you need this more than me. Here's me, I could do me a bottle of that. The sweat was gushing from me. And he says, a long view to go. I says, another 3 weeks. And Pat Crane says, oh God, he says, don't be having it in his shop. But gentlemen, the two of them. I mean, George was meant to leave at 3:30 to get a plane back to England. And he put it back to 6:30. So he did, because there was such a crowd there waiting for him, you know, to get signed photos. And he got it put back, so he did. And he signed every photograph, like, so he did. He didn't turn nobody away. And God help him, like, a sweat was gushing off him. And he's sitting there and he kept looking down to see him anymore and all the crowds coming. But he's a gentleman, so was Pat Crane too, like. You see, where I'm from originally, Craigie, his daddy lives behind my mummy. And where my mum lives, there's a big giant field, and that's where George started his playing, in that field. And he went to my school, but a good lot of years before me, like. And I used to go to Brownies with his twin sisters. All I did all them years ago, I went to Brownies with Grace and Julie. So I did, his twin sisters. So that's why he's special, because he's from my side of town, you see, and best player in the world, always will be, like, there will nobody to beat him. See, because there's only me and my sister, my daddy, he was in the Navy, and we used to live in Rathcoole. And every time he came home and leave, he used to take me to the Glentoran matches, because he had nobody else, and that's where I got, you know, interested in football. He used to, when he used to come home and leave, he used to get the buses up, and he used to take me to the Glen matches every Saturday they were playing. And then he was United supporter, and that's where I started, excuse me, supporting Manchester United too. And Rangers, just, I don't know where, just everybody, just where I lived, everybody supported Rangers, because I suppose all Protestants supported Rangers, like, so he just went along with it, like, and that's where I got interested in the football. I just wanted to be an exciting match. The atmosphere will be really, really good, like, I mean, the stand, sing a sash and all, and the Billy Boys, the two, and the stand saying No Surrender and all. And the last time I seen them play, when Rangers score, they get their scarves and, you know, the whole, you know, they have it tied, you know, in their hands, and they all twirl them round. And then you see, when you look back, all you see is all the scarves all, you know, twirling, like. And honestly, the atmosphere of the match is really, really brilliant. So that's, I'm looking forward to more than anything. Good atmosphere and a good match, like.
It's 9 a.m. on Saturday. With our Rangers scarves and tickets for the ground, we set off by taxi for Belfast Airport. The taxi man decides to take a route via the Catholic Falls Road area, through parts of the city that Valerie has never been in.
Fancy living up here, like?
Post time.
Is it terrible,
aye? Coming up and down here at nights.
Oh, would you drive up here?
Yeah, like, yeah.
Well, no. Go down the Shankill or something. The Shankill's the other side, isn't it? That was terrible last Saturday, wasn't it?
Bloody awful.
I mean, there's no need for it.
Look at the atmosphere for a day for a week. That's newborn later.
Valerie has been abroad on holiday, but never in the south of Ireland once in her life.
I've never been to Dublin in my life. Never. First time. It was the first time I was over the border. 2 years ago, Donegal. Never over the border in my life until we went down over to Donegal. Isn't that a disgrace, like? 2 years ago was my first time over the border. Never been across it. We went to Donegal, and so we did. And then we were over July there and down to Westport. That was my second time. So it is. Never been to Dublin.
At Belfast Airport, the British Labour Party spokesman on Northern Ireland, of all people, Kevin McNamara, is checking in at the next desk. Behind us, a group of men with Rangers ties are taunting him, accusing him of being sympathetic to Sinn Féin and other things. These lads are heading for the match too, so we had a chat with them a little later.
Don't you saw Kevin McNamara there?
Yes,
he's speaking. Yes, he asked that he see me.
The thing
about like people like Mr. McNamara and all is to formulate an opinion by speaking to only one side of people. Sometimes you should be a wee bit, you know, broader in there.
That's true. Enough.
I turn around and say, you were seeing your mate, Jack.
I wondered what you were talking about, and I turned around and I seen him. Kevin McNamara.
No, as I say, I remember travelling one time to London and I was alongside, sitting beside Enoch Paul, and I never had a more enlightening or travel
like
in my life. I mean, the man's obviously a very educated man.
It's
pity maybe some people didn't give the gentleman a wee bit more of a chance.
That's true.
You know, people like that, but these people here, like Kevin McNamara, formulate an opinion, and what exactly, where they get it, I'm not quite sure.
I don't know what's going on.
I mean, I worked abroad for 10 years and travelling doesn't have broaden horizon. And people like that should listen to both sides sometimes before they make an opinion. You know.
You think he doesn't?
I don't believe he does. No, I think he listens to nationalists living in mainland Britain, but he's not listening to perhaps people from the Unionist fraternity living in mainland Britain. You know, and it does. I mean, there's two sides to everything. I mean, take a marriage for instance. You listen to a wife and she swears blames the husband's fault, and vice versa. There's always two sides, you know.
True. So it is.
So sorry, but I'll keep you on.
You used to sing. We've got Ali. They used to sing, "We've got Ali, F your Mo." They used to sing. So they did. "We've got Ali, F your Mo. We've got Ali, F your Mo." And they used to sing, "He's blue, he's white, he's blue, he's white, he's cursing again, F and dynamite." It's Ian Durant used to sing that too. But the Ali one, "We've got Ali, if you're Mo," but sure, didn't Mo come to us, didn't he? Which was a big disappointment. Breaking my traditions, that's all he done, like.
Tell us about that time.
Unbelievable. I wouldn't have heard of it if it had been somebody else, another Roman Catholic guy, I wouldn't have heard. What got me was a couple of weeks before, Mo Johnson was on saying, "He's gone back to Celtic, that's where his heart belongs to, and all this here, that's where he wants to go, Celtic." And then the next thing you heard, he signed for Rangers. So, I mean, it was just all down to money. So it was. And, of course, there was ones up here, burnt their Rangers shirts at the bonfires, burnt their scarves. Ones that I knew, Big Andy Walker, like, dedicated Ranger fanatic. Wouldn't support them the whole time Mo Johnson played for them, so he didn't. That was a sad day, like. He broke with the tradition, like, so he did, because a Catholic had never played for Rangers until that. It was July 1989, until that day he signed him. So, I mean,
like, were you disappointed he signed?
Yes.
They took him on?
Yes, I was, because, as I say, it was a tradition, like. I mean, a Catholic had never played for Rangers, and then I think what most upset everybody was because who it was, Mo Johnson. You know, all the Ranger fans, you know, used to shout at him, give him abuse and all. And I think that's what upset most people. I think if it had been, say, just an ordinary Catholic, you know, another player, it wouldn't have went down as bad, no, as what it was, because I think it was him more than anything. That's what they hated. Because it was Mo Johnson, you see. And then they couldn't sing our wee song no more. "We've got Ali, F your Mo," because they had Mo on their side as well.
So they sang, what did they sing instead?
I don't know. They never really. So they just kept singing "The Sash" and all, and "No Surrender," like. But I mean.
And did they not sing? They had something else, didn't they?
Well, if you don't want a Catholic on our team, clap your hands. It's terrible, like.
It has a ring to it, though.
I know it does.
I think my grandfather summed it up when I was very small, when he said it wasn't so much a football team, it was more a way of life. And I think that's probably true. If you ask any Rangers supporter, you'll probably find it's been come through the whole family, you know.
True, yeah.
Grandson, father, grandfather. It's just a very unique game of football, be it in a cup league or anything else. It's a very unique experience. I mean, it's a civilised way of experiencing the Battle of the Boyne, if you like. You know, a modern day experience of. But I would like to think it's a civilised way of doing it, you know.
There's still a bit of politics in it.
Oh, there's no question. I mean, it's a very, very much an Irish nationalist support which follows Celtic, and it's very much a loyalist, sort of royalist type support for Rangers. I mean, anybody says any different would be telling lies. And that obviously adds space to the game.
Glasgow, it's a mild, sunny winter's day. Clear skies, no wind. Perfect for football. Outside the stadium, we get talking to some Rangers fans.
Come on, you're a shy new, eh?
He's all shy.
Come on, Oscar, on you go.
Oh, who's going to score?
Who's going to score? Ali. Super Ali. It's got to be you.
I would say Ian Ferguson, myself. What do you think, Dylan?
I don't know today.
Big Mark. Big Haley.
No, one, is it?
I think he's in. It was doubtful the middle of the week, but noise.
Is McCoy still on?
Oh, yes.
Is right, so yeah.
2-1 for Rangers.
Definitely. Right. Yeah.
Super Ali, Big
nothing.
Mark. That's
an Ali hat trick.
Optimist.
I see you probably got McCoy's goal today.
Say the last match I was at, and the they were beat 2-1 by Aberdeen. You'd have thought Rangers won. Terry Butcher and all took his shirt off and threw it into the crowd. They're all standing down dancing. All the Ranger players and all the crowds were singing. You know, there's only one Rangers, and all honestly, it was unbelievable atmosphere. Like, and then Neil used to. When we first went up, when they were just for the players come on the pitch, you seen Mr. Souness coming up, and then all around the stadium, all you heard was Souness. It was just, you know, really brilliant atmosphere. Like, that's all, like, Souness, and there he was, the man himself. Didn't like him. No, I didn't. I didn't like him when he played for Liverpool, and even when he went to Rangers. I didn't like him. Still don't like him. Very grumpy man. So he is.
That's the place to be for the crack.
The atmosphere, aye.
That's right.
What's your favourite Rangers song?
Karaoke.
Favourite tune?
Oh, no, I don't know, really. I don't know what one would be
Maybe
the best.
Maybe it's very quiet and reserved.
Yeah, we're up the top, so
except for today, it's slightly different.
You're pretty laid back, people, you know.
Quiet and shy.
Hello, hello is usually quite a good one, I think, yeah.
How's that go? Inside Ibrox, the atmosphere is breathtaking. The Celtic fans have their own stand, they fly their tricolours and taunt verbal abuse at Rangers players. Rangers fans roar foul language back at the Celtic team. And by the time 3 o'clock kickoff comes, it feels like the stands themselves are shaking with the excitement. Then there's the play, the tackles and the near misses. And then, at last, in the 65th minute, the moment we've all been waiting for in the Rangers terrace, the goal from Ali McCoist. But the ecstasy is short-lived because 3 minutes later there's an equaliser from the men in green. And in the last 2 minutes of the game, disaster for Rangers. Rangers fans as they leave the stadium, there's always time for one defiant gesture.
Have a Rangers goalkeeper to thank for it. Would you believe it? It looked as though Rangers were about to extend their dominance over their old firm rivals when, of all people, Ali McCoist, who is still not fully match fit after his 5-month layoff with a broken leg, opened the scoring midway through the second half. It was one of Rangers' most flowing moves. McCoist was at the heart of it. He played the ball out to Mikhailchenko, switched into McCall to Durant. Durant shot against Bonner. I thought the goalkeeper had it, but instead he let it slip, and McCoist is deadly in those situations, over the line, 1-0. It looked as though Rangers would cruise on then, but Maxwell in the Rangers goal permitted a simple high ball to elude him. He actually reached it but dropped it at the feet of John Collins. Collins only had to shuffle wide of the goalkeeper and play it into the net. That was one each. 93 minutes on the clock. It looked as though it was a certain score draw. Maxwell intervened again, this time from a corner. The young Dubliner, Paul Byrne, hung it underneath the crossbar. Maxwell came for it, let it go completely through his arms, and as it fell behind him, Stuart McCall could do nothing to prevent Brian O'Neill getting a clean touch across the line into the net to give Lou McCarry his first victory as Celtic manager. The score again, Rangers 2, Celtic 1. Celtic's first victory here in 19 months.
What can you say, Valerie?
Terrible.
Huh?
We were terrible. We really were terrible.
Do you feel like crying?
contested.
Celtic were all over the most of the time, weren't they? Valerie is almost speechless outside the ground. For match analysis, it takes a Glasgow taxi man, a Rangers fan.
I was settling for a draw when you equalised.
Aye.
I don't even have a fair result. You can live with it over a weekend. You can't live with that.
No.
You'd beat it.
Especially in the Carrie's first match.
Papers will blow it wide up.
I know.
Blow it wide up. You just don't buy the papers for a couple of days. Don't buy any Sunday papers or Monday papers. That's the only way to get rid of that. I tend to be biased now. Because they make the most of it. It's unfortunate there are a lot of injuries at the start of the season. But then again, you've got to maintain where you left off last year.
It's true. Had a brilliant season last year, didn't they?
So maybe they've made their own too high a standard to keep up to.
Keep up with it, that's true.
MD to get beat by them. I wouldn't have liked getting beat by anybody else, but to get beat by him.
I know.
Here.
That's the worst, I know.
But it's a clear out time. For a lot of players there, you should give it a funeral.
But by the time we reach the airport, Valerie is a little cheered up as she looks back on the great moments of the day.
I mean, you can't beat the atmosphere, like. No word, I'm telling you. No word, you can't beat it. It's just completely different than anything back home. So it is. I would definitely come back. Definitely. I didn't care who Rangers were playing, like, as long as it was at Ibrox. I would definitely go back.
Something special, isn't it?
Oh, yes, definitely. It is. I can't get over that stadium, like. Poor stadium they have. Not an empty seat in it, like. Not an empty seat in it.
And what was it like being on the terrace? What do you think of it? Chance in there.
Oh, it was a good laugh. The language was a bit rough, like, I didn't expect that from a crowd of fellas anyway. I don't mind.
Wasn't many women there?
No, not real. Like, there was a few, like, but I think you'd get the women in the seating, sitting down, not so much in the terrace, like, really sitting down. But I enjoyed it, a good laugh. So it was.
I'd say you were one of the there mightn't have been any mothers of a 2-month-old baby in that.
No,
terrace.
I don't think so. Not ways, I'm not sure it was worth it, like, definitely. Just went over so quick. So I did the whole day, flew in, like. But it was good, I really enjoyed it. Really did. Ah, well. We'll beat them the next time, they meet them. Who do you see? They'll get their revenge. So they will. That's it. All over now.
Back to the family?
Yes, back home with my wee daughter. And my son. Can't wait to get my photos developed now. Hope they all turn out well. I took that crowd. All the other side and all their flags out, like. Brilliant.
Now, 12th of July, we all go up and stand and watch the Orange Parades. Like, it's great. It's good to see and all, you feel all. But then you wonder what it's like religion. Like, I mean, it's nothing. It's just, it doesn't, shouldn't mean anything, but it does in this country. Like, I mean, you just feel you've got it and you're scared to go out. So you are out, like, you're scared. I mean, say you're safe in your own house. You're not even safe now in your own house. I mean, they just beat the door down and come in. If they want you, like, they'll get you. That's all there is to it. And it's just no solution to it at all. So there isn't. It's all money, all down to money, if you ask me. That's what it's all down to. I just hope when they grow up, like, it's all forgot about. But I can't say it, like, I think it'll go on for another 20 years. Each generation will just carry on, following their daddy's footsteps. That's the way it'll go, just carry on. So it will. John, and he'd be at March. He doesn't know what religion is. I mean, he doesn't. He doesn't know he's a Protestant. I don't tell him. I mean, when he hears about people being shot, no matter what side it is, he says they're bad boys. Both sides like bad boys. I mean, and that's just the way he's being brought up. He'll learn for himself when he gets older what religion is, but I'm not going to tell him, if you know what I mean. I'm not going to tell her. I mean, she was brought up the exact same way. I mean, why bring somebody up to hate somebody because they're a different religion from yourself? It's stupid. So it is, and that's not the way they ever brought up. I mean, they're our future, and if they're brought up properly, then maybe not happen. Stop. Doubt it, like, still go on and on. So it will.
The situation in the north would never be changed by violence. Any political settlement depended on consent given freely in the absence of forced intimidation. There could be no talks between the two governments and those who use violence, nor could there be any secret agreements between governments and those supporting them.
Should we get hungry soon, aren't you? Getting hungry, and then you're going down for your big night's sleep, aren't you? Yes. Happened, you want to be sandwich, honey? Oh, dear, what? Tell Mummy. Tell Mummy. Who's that?